This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing okay. I'm thoroughly sleep deprived and losing my voice and, in shambles. But, man, got a beautiful family and a full quiver and a business that's a lot of fun and great friends, and we're just making it work, you know, bro.
Yeah, man, I hear that. And you mentioned the full quiver thing. Some of our non-believing listeners might not get that reference, but let me just say this, because recently at church, I remember somebody made the quiver comment about how you're supposed to go out and make babies. Listen, some people's quiver can only handle two arrows. All right, we're gonna shoot those arrows as far and as high as we can. But let's be real.
Economy quiver. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We got that COVID quiver. You know, like you gotta.
but the
so much pressure by some people. So
the efficiency
you know.
Of it is very, it's, I don't know, it's very high performance. That's
high performance, high performance arrows and quiver. That's right. That's right. Tells me your quiver is far from full, my friend. But regardless, I know right now it feels like it's maxed out. We're happy that you're here, especially taking care of that newborn. Your lovely wife.
I tell you, man, it's wide open. Yeah, we're doing good. Folks have been asking, you know, is everyone healthy and all that? Yeah, everyone's healthy and doing great. And if you've ever been a parent before, you know those first few weeks are just frankly out of control. And so, yeah. Just not a lot of sleep, running on fumes and coffee and nicotine. And, my friend, our friend, listener, Luis Missouri, he, texts me and is like, how much percent of your life would you say is running on nasal snuff right now? And I was like, yeah, pretty good percent. So anyway, but everything's going good, man. We're just rocking and rolling, some, cool stuff going on at the shop and a lot of growth, and we're just very thankful. So
yeah, man. Well, I'm glad that you're here, and it's always good to hear your voice. we're rocking and rolling here in Houston as well. I've been in the process. We've just got a new fence up. We've been, you know, after the ice storm, it killed all the trees. And so we've been doing some yard renovation, such as it is, and getting things, trying to get back to normal. And so like today they finished up this last past weekend. And, you know, it was giving me a PTSD from having the kitchen remodeled, which is a weird thing to complain about. But, you know, there's just something about like liking to have your home, you know, when it's not like everybody's just like popping in and you never know 5 seconds from now, like, you know, when, oh, okay. Oh, you're with the contractor. Okay, cool. You know,
this is the problem, I think, with both you and I. Like we kind of, as much as we, you know, can't wait to get through with projects to get some kind of rest. It's almost like we thrive on some sense of like chaos, you know?
Right.
And so,
right.
And,
yes.
And so, okay, we got this project done. Well, now it's time to life is too simple and uncomplicated. So how can we destroy it again?
Exactly right. This is normal now. All right. Well, let's destroy it. And
yeah, let's destroy it, because obviously something is you know, this is not appropriate. And then we carry on. And so you build fences or renovate things or make babies or whatever.
Yeah, whatever tickles your fancy, man. For sure, man. We're rocking and rolling. I was actually had a buddy. From church over here a few days ago, we were enjoying a mess of pipe tobacco. I'm actually really excited because we've got, in this very episode, we'll be talking about a follow-up to a pipe tobacco I was enjoying with him. But we'll talk about that later. Before we jump into it, though, you were sharing with me something very, very special and very honoring before the show. And, you know, I want to kind of toss it to you so that we can give a listener, a very special listener, a shout-out this week.
This kind of blew my mind and rocked my world in a variety of ways. But, you know, life has been really insane for me, if you haven't picked that up, over the last several months. And frankly, just, you know, really chaotic, as we kind of alluded to. And so, you know, you're just running around trying to get things ready for family to change, and your business is changing, and it just, everything's up in the air. And then occasionally in life, in the midst of all that insanity, you get something that makes you sit still. And we had that happen recently at the Country Squire, and particularly regarding our podcast and what Bo and I do every week and the work of the greater Country Squire Radio Pipe community, Pipe Club and Pipe community and listenership. Anyway, we wanted to share this with you because it's special and it's tender and it's just something that it kind of, again, you know, there's not many things that will make me sit still during the day as things are just so incredibly busy. But this one made me sit still, and I was honored to walk with this person for a little bit. So I got a phone call from David Self. Dave is from Dayton, Tennessee, and has been a listener of Country Squire Radio for quite some time. And an avid pipe smoker and, man, just a very interesting person involved in a lot of different things. But, man, such a tender spirit. And he called me to tell me that he was dying and that his doctor had given him just a few months to live. And he wanted to communicate to Bo and I. We had just played a big influence on his been becoming interested in the pipe again, and that we'd really helped him and you know, our listeners and everyone that kind of collaborates with Country Squire Radio has really encouraged him in his walk as a pipe smoker. He just wanted us to know that before he passed away. And, you know, we have fun doing this, right? We get on here every week and, you know, we get on mic and we, you know, tell our corny little jokes and blab about what's going on in our life and talk pipe tobacco. And a lot of times we'll, you know, talk whiskey or, you know, different things and make fun of Brian Levine and, you know, everything else. But, man, this gentleman, who is, admittedly in the waning days of his story, wanted us to know that, that we were important to him. And so I wanted to, before we go any further in this episode, I want to dedicate this show to David Self. David has since actually called me back and said that his doctor and their team has updated his prognosis negatively, and that his prospects for living are not in the months anymore, but have gone to weeks. And so, David, you know, if you're listening, brother, we care for you and are just so thankful for you and are so encouraged by our small ministry to you, but also the pipe service to you too. And man, we just want you to know that we're really grateful for your words of encouragement and that it means a lot to us and that we can't wait to meet you again, man. Well, David is a believer. He's a Christian guy who later in life kind of rededicated his life to seriousness in pursuing the Lord Christ. And man, wanted me to know, you know, he was praying for us and that our special ministry, what we do here is important and really encouraged us to carry it on because it affects people like himself. And so it was very powerful, it was very convicting and incredibly encouraging. And so anyway, David, if you're listening, this episode is for you, my friend, and we're so grateful for you. So he sent us several things, Bo, and we'll talk about these things in a future date. But I wanted to mention this and just tell David that we wish him well, that we're thinking about him, and that we're thankful for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Just incredibly honored to have you as a listener, brother. I hope and pray that you're able to hear this before before clocking out, man. But wow. Just I think we when John David told me he kind of shared your story with me, man. It really we had to pause before recording,
yeah,
brother.
We did, you know. And it's one of those things where you just forget you forget who's out there, you know, and and that our community is really tangible, and that we weekly, you know, have a true effect on each other. And so, David, you've impacted us, man, and we're grateful for you. And man, we wish you and your family the best and Godspeed. Okay, brother.
Well, you know, we did an episode a while back called "The Ties That Bind," talking about the just the impact of being in community. You know, and the reality is, it doesn't have to be pipe. Doesn't like whatever, you know. Maybe it's comic books. Maybe it's just your community faith or whatever it is. But you know, part of life is you find these little passion points, you find these little textures that add to the story of your life, that add to you know, your overall enjoyment of things and things that just really produce passion, whether it's, you know, art or sport or what have you. And, you know, the pipe has clearly been that for us, for every single person listening. And, you know, as much as we may enjoy this or that tobacco or be impressed by this or that pipe, you know, it's really the community that comes out of a shared interest that makes something special.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, like, you know, a dried up leaf of tobacco is a dried up leaf of tobacco that somebody figured out, hey, you can smoke this and it's kind of enjoyable. Yeah, but what made it special is when that person shared it with somebody else, they enjoyed it together.
Yeah.
And suddenly a community was formed. Yeah. Yeah, like John never said, David, man, this one's for you. All right, man. Speaking of those dried up leaves that that people do enjoy lighting on fire, this is a Tobacco Talk. Now, for those who are not familiar, Tobacco Talk, this is the kind of episode you would expect from a pipe tobacco podcast. Maybe you've never listened to Country Squire Radio before. Maybe this is your first ever episode, and congratulations, you lucked out. It's not a weird one. It's a normal one. it's the kind of episode you would expect, where we do the work of reviewing pipe.
I do want to say, like, yeah, most, I feel like the normal Country Squire Radio one episodes are the really weird ones.
Well, that's true. Normal for, yeah.
So, I mean, let's be honest, like, yeah, okay, you found the one that you would expect it to be, but you know, stay around for a couple more. We'll weird you out. We promise.
Yeah, we'll weird you out. Yeah, no, this is a bait and switch is what right. This is right now. Oh, this is a knowledgeable pipe tobacco podcast. Yeah, well, that is true. That is always true. But this is, you know, we also like to have fun, man. And so I'm excited because you're sharing with me the tobaccos, and I'm very excited about both of these tobaccos. Learning a little bit more of them for two very different reasons. And so I'm curious which one you're going to tee up first.
Yeah. Well, I thought we'd go ahead and come out with the special edition tobacco first, which is something fun. Of course, everyone is familiar in the pipe world with Seattle Pipe Club, you know, famed, you know, organization of pipe smokers in the Pacific Northwest that has been such a strong bastion of pipe community, whatever. These are blue blood pipe smokers, you know, and Joe Lankford and that crew up there, of course, several years ago developed this brand of pipe tobacco kind of centered around their community. And man, they are coming out actually as this episode is recording. They are going to be debuting this April 2021 a special edition of one of their tobaccos, and that is Plum Pudding Special Reserve Flake.
Hey.
It is. Yeah, I'm really excited about this, man. It's cool. It's a limited edition tobacco. Of course, Special Reserve Plum Pudding is something they've had for a while now, a couple of years, and it's something that's been wildly popular. But this is the flake.
Yeah, that's a classic right there.
It is a classic, and they've taken their plum pudding, and then they had the Special Reserve, and now they're making a flake of the Special Reserve. But some of the most popular tobaccos in the last 10 years really have been Seattle Pipe Club tobaccos. You know, we think of course, Mississippi River and Plum Pudding, you know, Mississippi River, of course, and Plum Pudding both. These are, rich, you know, Latakia forward blends that, are, you know, particularly favor those people that like something full body and earthy. That, you know, others joined the kind of lineup over time: Deception Pass, Hood Canal, Potlatch, Seattle Evening, and then more recently Rainier Levant, Wild Man, and Galloping Gertie. I love these names. You know, they're all really great. And so, right. You know, eventually they continued to come out with blends, but then also found this niche of, you know, editing and ramping up blends that were already inside the lineup here. And so with Mississippi River and Plum Pudding, Special Reserve came out. And these were, editions of these tobaccos that essentially had more limited ingredients in them. And so, some particularly, extra finely aged Orientals or maybe some Virginias that, were a little choicer than others. And so they're kind of coy. They're not super transparent on what makes these tobaccos extra special, but they do want you to know that the tobacco leaves that go in them are, a more hard to get a high quality leaf than another you know iterations of Mississippi River and plum pudding. So so yeah, kind of cool what they've done here with Mississippi River and plum pudding. They came out with a rum barrel aged with the plum pudding, and then with the Mississippi River plum pudding, they had a bourbon barrel aged, and now they've taken the Special Reserve, which is a really beautiful plug with these limited tobaccos in them, and they for a limited time are coming out with a flake variety of this. Just really cool. It's just the same tobacco Special Reserve of plum pudding, which everyone knows and loves, but now in a flake form. And so the regular plug of plum pudding Special Reserve, it comes in a 4-ounce tin, which is kind of a lot for the average pipe smoker that likes to rotate different tobaccos and stuff. Of course, some folks, if they smoke a lot of this particular type of blend, can go through 4 ounces in a heartbeat. But it's not your average size, 2 ounce or 1.75 ounce tin. This is a tin that is going to put a little extra poundage in your cellar here. And it also is a plug variety. The original plum pudding Special Reserve is it's a plug, and so this is something that makes it a little, although it's fun and novel, it makes it a little more clumsy to perhaps prepare for your pipe and that type of thing. And so, I love plug tobacco. Think plug and flake tobacco have hung the moon, but sometimes they're not as convenient as just a shag or a nice ready rub or ribbon cut, something of that nature. So what they've done, and by the way, Seattle Pipe Club tobaccos are all made by Sutliff Tobacco in Virginia. Folks at Sutliff, we have a great relationship with them, long-standing relationship. Of course, they manufacture our shop's 50th anniversary tobacco, which is very dear to us. But they also, do a lot of other tobaccos for different groups and private blends for folks. And so they were the ones years ago that worked with the folks at Seattle Pipe Club to develop these blends and worked with Joe Lankford. And so they, that's why you'll notice if you ever get a tin of Seattle Pipe Club tobacco in the original style tins, the tins look a whole lot like Sutliff private stock blends. They kind of have that same tin shape. You know what I mean? That kind of, it's like the biscuit can, but a little bigger. It's almost like maybe something you'd see like mixed nuts in or something.
Wow. So, yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I've never made that connection before.
That same exact kind of thing you might see in a grocery store aisle. So so anyway, that's the Sutliff size tin, and that's why the Seattle Pipe Club tins look that way. So anyway, the flake edition of the Special Reserve Plum Pudding, really nice. It is a beautiful vacuum seal tin. It's very convenient. And, if you're not familiar, the original Plum Pudding Special Reserve, this was Black Cavendish, Latakia, Orientals, Virginias, and Perique. And so it's like they took everything but the kitchen sink and threw it in the mixing bowl and let it sit for a while and pressed it and just made this really bold and rich blend. And of course, the Special Reserve, what it does is it takes the additional tobaccos there that have this kind of depth to them that's very seductive and velvety, and it's very rich. It's not a beginner's pipe tobacco, but it's something that is really rewarding, particularly if you like Latakia. The extra emphasis with the Special Reserve is on that stone fruit tobacco. It's got the that natural sugar that comes out a little more once tobaccos have that extra age on them and pressure. And so just really nice. The vacuum seal tin, it's as you would expect, so you immediately connect it with Seattle Pipe Club. It's got Joe Lankford's bald head right there front and center. Smoking his bamboo shank pipe, and the very familiar Seattle Pipe Club artwork. The flakes, when you open the tobacco, open the tin, you're immediately hit with Latakia. Heavy dose of Latakia with this tobacco. The flakes are thick and meaty, very easy for convenience. You're missing the novelty of that plug, but of course this is going to be something that is going to be a little easier to prepare, certainly quicker to prepare. A lot of folks, when they're preparing a plug, when they do, they you got to be careful not to tear off too much of the plug, because if you tear off much more than you're going to put in your pipe, that tends to dry out faster than the rest of the tobacco. And so you do have to be careful. With the flake, it's a little easier to kind of you know, gauge out amount exactly how much you're going to load in your pipe. And so some people prefer a flake over a plug, you know, six in one, half a dozen in the other, but just really, you know, both good and both, you know, perfectly wonderful ways of consuming your favorite tobacco. The flakes are thick cut. They have this, again, kind of a meatiness to them. It's chunky. They're a bit moist. It's something that some smokers may prefer to let sit for a little bit before they, you know, load in their pipe and smoke. You know, minimal drying might help out some, or maybe tinning up a little while, or jarring up in a mason jar just to kind of stabilize some. Some of the leaves may be, you know, a little thick, and so because they are even in flake form, once you tear the flake apart to prep it for loading in your pipe, you might even have to tear some of those leaves a little further. And so this is a thick cut flake, in my opinion. So it's something that, you know, you're gonna prepare your flake, but then you might even have to tear it apart even further in order to get it in your pipe. And so we need to re-educate folks in a soon episode on, you know, just kind of how to handle flake tobacco and deal with that. And you know, there's different methods of prepping flake tobacco and how you load it in your pipe and tricks to keeping lit and all this kind of stuff. And so just the chunkiness of these particular flakes can add an extra element of you know, having to tinker with it, I guess, in order to tend to your pipe. So
do you know why the choice to take it to the flake, so to speak, was made?
I don't. You know, one thing I will say about Sutliff is they're always trying to find the next angle. You know, brands like them and Cornell and Deal and Mac Baron, I mean, these are, you know, tobacconists that are, you know, pipe blenders that are always looking for the next thing. You know, they're not ever, you know, satisfied with just their current lineup. They always want to expand it even further. And so some people really do prefer a flake over a plug. And then also it does change the experience some, just with the addition of, you know, extra oxygen being able to contact with a higher percentage of the leaves, and you know, how you tear the tobacco apart and load it into your pipe. I mean, the, you know, ability for it to age slower or faster, all these things are going to be changed slightly when you change the form of a pipe tobacco. And so I think they're just constantly looking for the next thing to do to make it into a unique experience, which is good. You know, you want, you know, folks as pipe enthusiasts to always be looking for that next thing. And so
absolutely,
kind of cool. But once you get it in your pipe and get it going, it stays lit really well. I do have to say, with most of my activity with this particular tobacco, it stayed lit super well and burned to really nice ash, just very good. Very heavy Latakia blend. It's one of those where, you know, if you've listened to the show for quite a long time, you'll know that I'm more of a Virginia smoker and, you know, occasionally aromatic. You know, I just don't smoke a ton of Latakia. And so blends like Plum Pudding kind of remind me of why. You know? I mean, it tastes great. It really is delicious. In some sense, it's decadent. But, you know, it just has a lot of Latakia in there, probably a little too much for my personal taste. But for most people that certainly pursue English and Balkan-style blends, this is a tobacco that's going to be right up your alley. And so I will say my most recent visit with this, I've been smoking it, you know, here over the past several days. And in my most recent case, I smoked it in my large claw meerschaum, and it was a little trouble to keep lit. But I have to say that that's probably due to the fact that while I was smoking it, I was on the phone fighting with one of our shop's credit card processors. And so I think, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, the environment you're smoking in, and
right.
You know, who you're chatting with, and what you've eaten, and how angry you are because of, you know, people, you know, not giving you the rate they said they would, and all this kind of stuff. So
right,
you know. not exactly the best mindset to be reviewing a pipe.
That's exactly right. So we're gonna defer to more of the the previous tries or tastes that we had, but a really good tobacco. If you like anything by Seattle Pipe Club, and if you like something that is very full bodied, try to get your hands on a can of the Seattle Pipe Club Plum Pudding Special Reserve Flake. Again, limited edition tobacco coming out here in late April 2021. If you see a can, you better get it because it won't last long. I'm sure some of the big online retailers will get the bulk of them like they always do. But that is Seattle Pipe Club's Plum Pudding Special Reserve Flake.
There you go.
It's a mouthful.
You know, you do actually have me kind of wondering if maybe we should introduce a new style of review in this of like, you know, like a porch. Like this is how it smokes on the porch. And this is how it smokes on customer support. You know, like whenever you're
sure.
get the full effect. All right, well, good. All right, well, so I'm a big fan of the Seattle Pipe Club blends. I very much enjoy plum pudding, or rather the I don't even know which version of plum pudding I have now that I think about it. It's in my cellar right now. I should probably run and go get it, but I'm not gonna throw us off. But no, I was enjoying it the other night. We had a buddy over. And man, I was so excited because I hadn't had a chance to really just sit down and enjoy my pipe in so long.
Yeah.
And so I brought out, like, I got a tray and essentially that went into my cellar and then got out a whole mess of pipe tobacco. Just, you know, a variety of different flavors and different styles. And mostly because I wanted to enjoy a new pipe, the pipe that we were actually gifted from Mark BV around Christmas time. I had not had an opportunity. I've been saving it.
Yeah.
Cause you know, it's one of those deals where new pipe want to kind of choose a tobacco for it.
I know.
Yeah. And so that takes a little work, right? Cause you have to kind of make some decisions and anyway. So I had plum pudding was a contender. It was not the one that ultimately, won the day. That went to a 6-year-old tin, or a 6-year-old jar essentially that I'd canned up of, Fox's Bankers. Tobacco.
Oh, which, yeah, the bank. Yeah, man. from James Fox. Yeah, awesome.
Let me tell you, that aged like a fine wine.
I bet it did.
that's not the tobacco that we're talking about next. But I just want to give that one a little shout out in the midst of this. But had plum pudding with me as kind of like a safety. You know, just in case, like, I couldn't find one because I knew I liked it. So there you go.
That's really funny. You mentioned a pipe that you've been kind of sitting on, waiting for the right thing to put in it, to break it in and, you know, for the first time and all that type of thing. I've got a Joe Hinkle sandblasted cutty with bamboo. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous pipe that I bought at the Chicago Pipe Show a couple of years ago. I didn't buy it at the show, actually. I saw it at the show, and then a day after the show, I was like, I've got to have that pipe. And so I tracked it down and bought it, and they mailed it to me and everything. And so, you know, it's just one of those pipes that I've got it. Now what do I do with it? And so I've got this pipe, and I haven't smoked it in 2 years because I don't know what to smoke in it. You know, it's just sitting there staring at me, smiling, and it's like,
it's taunting you is what it's doing. No, let's be real. Let's be real about this. Any pipe smoker with a collection worth the salt has a number of pipes that have never been smoked. And it bugs them to this day. We should do an episode where we actually like a shame episode, but in kind of like a, you know, in making it and normalizing it at the same time, like saying all right, these are the pipes in my pipe collection that I have every intention at some point in my life to smoke. That I have never smoked and have been collecting dust for years.
That's a good idea.
We all have those.
You know, we're Southerners, so we really major in shame. You know, that's something we're not.
Well,
we're not
Presbyterians on top of that. We have Presbyterian background.
And recovering Presbyterians. And so, we've got this shame thing down. And so we, I'm all for that. Play to your strengths, right, Bo?
That's right. All right, what do we got next, man?
Man, excited to talk about this one next. And the first one with the Seattle Pipe Club blend, we've got a limited edition blend, which will probably be a little hard to get. So again, you'll want to jump on it as you hear this episode. The next one, Esoterica Tobacco, which we haven't talked about before on air. We haven't reviewed outright on air, and it's Esoterica Woodbridge. It's something that's been sitting in my cellar a while, and I kind of started eyeing again and pulled out and started working my way through an amount of it. And it was just very pleasant. I thought we'd bring it up here on the show for a tobacco talk. Esoterica, talking about hard to get tobaccos, they win. They always do, right? It's just, it is the brand. It's the Bitcoin of pipe tobacco. The dog coin, Doge coin, or whatever they call it now, that's tearing up the market. So, you know, the flavor of the week, Esoterica is always the flavor of the week. And I mean, it's just always hard to get. It's been interesting. We've had a lot of people call recently about it, and they've said, look, where's the Esoterica? Yeah, it's normally hard to get, but we, folks can generally count on a drop of Esoterica, you know, two or three, maybe even four times a year.
Right.
And this year, you know, for the past, gosh, probably 10 months. I mean, there's been nothing from Esoterica, nothing from Germaine that's made it stateside, no new drops or shipments. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just really interesting to people. I was talking with my friend Josh Weiser, who we've had on the show before. It's been quite a while. I think I interviewed him at the Chicago Pipe Show a couple of years ago. Josh works for a company called Arango Cigar. Arango is the—
Right. Yes.
They're the American importer for the Esoterica blends and for everything from J.F. Germaine. And so they've just had this difficulty getting things here. And the reason for that, quote from Josh, is a direct quote, "It's a pandemic logistical nightmare." And, you know, you've got to think from Western Europe's perspective, everything's all messed up right now, right? I mean, we think about plane travel and, you know, just the way our entire society works. Everything, as we all know, has been turned upside on its head. But a lot of that has trickled down to the distribution of just basic products. I mean, we've seen that with things like toilet paper and paper towels and hand sanitizer and soap and toothbrushes and everything else. And so, you know, that has finally started to kind of trickle down to some of these things that maybe aren't as necessitated by daily life. And so with Esoterica, everything that's come out of Germaine's factory, we've just had a lot of trouble getting it. I'm starting to see this, interestingly enough, Bo. You know, the pandemic, we're actually, God willing, we think we're on the back side of this thing. You know, we hope and pray. The back nine of it, as it were, if you're talking about an 18-hole golf course. But, you know, I'm just now starting to see it hit some of the distribution of our other products, some of the tobaccos that we use in our pipe blends, some of the cigars that we get. So it's kind of interesting that early in the pandemic, we had the ability to get stuff pretty readily. And now on the backside of it, it's like the supply chain and the logistical, you know, chain is starting to kind of break down after months and months of strain. And so Esoterica is not alone. Some of the best-selling tobaccos, you know, in the world, some of the most sought-after blending ingredients, you know, it's been hard to get some of these things, even for our own shop. And so the Germaine stuff is not an island. It's not it's made on an island, but it's not an island. It's not unto itself in this sense. It's you know, just a lot of things are in this category. But we hope that Esoterica will come soon. We, you know, it's not like they've gone out of business or anything like that. They have probably quite a bit of pent up production that I'm sure the kind folks on the Jersey Isles are eager to get out to the folks in America with their name on it. So stay tuned on that. But anyway, today we're talking about Esoterica Woodbridge. If you are a Virginia lover, this is the tobacco for you. It's a great tobacco. Of course, it's not one of those that is highly sought after, as is their Penzance and Stonehaven and Peacehaven. You know, some of the others you see sought after a little more. But Woodbridge, I think, is just great. It's a tobacco that's hung the moon and has a lot of complexity. And if you really are a Virginia fan, I think you'll enjoy it. From tobaccoreviews.com, the description of this tobacco: a wonderfully complex mixture consisting of six light Virginias pressed until reddish brown and then rubbed out, plus golden and dark Virginias hot pressed until jet black. 12 different Virginia tobaccos lightly laced with licorice and natural fruit extracts, perfectly blended and fully matured. A true luxury blend that leaves the pipe clean and dry. And everything about that is dead on.
Right,
it's just truly luxurious to smoke. It's just decadent. And it's something that is very kind to your pipe and very kind to your mouth as well. And so you open the bag up of this. And I will say, you know, we talked about this a little bit before the show, because you were asking if it's also available in a tin.
Right.
I have seen Woodbridge tins before, 2 ounce tins of Woodbridge, but or 50 gram tins, but have not seen them in quite a while. Even, you know, before when we were, you know, semi regularly getting Esoterica products, I haven't seen the tins for this particular tobacco in quite a while. It's just solely been in the 8 ounce bag. So if you do ever see Woodbridge out there and you're waiting on the tin instead of the bag, if you really want to try it, you may need to pounce on the bag, because even though it's a good bit more expensive, just because I haven't seen, as a retailer, I haven't seen the tins of Woodbridge in quite a while. So I don't know if they've gotten rid of the tins, if they're only making it in half pound bags. But anyway, that's just my observation. So beautiful tobacco. You open it up and it just has a really nice vinegary smell that does have a natural sweetness there. Of course, they don't hide from the fact that they are putting a little licorice and fruit extract on the tobacco. And if you're one of these purists that is about to make that the reason you don't try this, just get over yourself. Just get over yourself. Again, as we've talked before, any of the major tobaccos that you've tried before, particularly Virginia's, that, you know, folks are always, oh, I just smoke unflavored tobacco. Well, on average, we call a lot of things unflavored tobaccos, but there's little casings and toppings kind of lurking everywhere. And the great thing about the folks at Germaine is that they're upfront about it. And so you've got this little anise and fruit extract, you know, toppings that are kissing the edges of these Virginia tobaccos. And it really is a nice impact on this particular blend. So you open it up, looking at the leaves, you've got this kind of melange of light brown to golden tobaccos mixed with these black leaves that tend to have a little more moisture. What was cool, I put this tobacco back for a couple of years. This is actually about a four-year-old tobacco and that I was smoking. And it was really, really neat because the sugar crystals just really kind of overtook most of these dark, dark leaves, just those tobacco leaves in there that were extra matured, that had the advantage of just a little more pressure and heat, that hot pressed that they mentioned jet black tobacco, just really, really nice. And so those sugars kind of pronounced coming to the front. You just know at that point you're smoking something that has, you know, got quite a treat in store for you. So really, really good. Something that for the folks that are constantly pursuing Esoterica tobaccos, but they only think of Stonehaven and Penzance, give Woodbridge a look. Try to get your hands on one of those too, because I think you'll find that it stands up very well to the others. This is a shag cut. It's something that's a very fine cut. It's not a flake or a mottled, you know, or a cut plug or any, or cut crumble cake, sliced, you know, anything like that. It's just a nice shag, but very easy to load in the pipe. The moisture is pretty good right out of the bag. Some people on a fresh bag will let it sit for a little bit. You know, it's just something that I think you'll be very pleased that you tried if you are able to get your hands on it. Medium bodied, you know, I'd say the nicotine is kind of light on this particular blend. It's something that, you know, is approachable for pretty much any time of day. The room note is a bit pleasant enough. It's not something that's over the top as far as smelling good, but then it also is, it doesn't run your wife out of the room either. And so that's also a pro. But anyway, try it out. I think you'll enjoy it. It's something that, you know, overall has gotten mixed reviews by the overall pipe community, but I think it's a tobacco that requires the folks that, you know, really want to, you know, go through the entire Esoterica lineup. Definitely, you know, you should try it out. You should pursue it. And I think if you're a real Virginia smoker, you'll really like it.
Okay, there you go. You know, the Esoteric, for me personally, the Esoterica blends have always been kind of hit or miss and mostly miss.
Yeah.
And sure. And I mean, I realize that I guess the minority there, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think
the name seems to always speak louder than like my enjoyment of the actual pipe tobacco.
Yeah, sure, I understand. I think that's a common experience for a lot of people. And I think part of it is because the tobaccos are excellent, but build up that much hype, it's like nothing can stand up to that. You know what I mean? In a lot of sense, you get that from a lot of things that have that much hype behind them. But yeah, I think you're not alone in that. Some people, when they smoke Esoterica tobaccos, are a little disappointed. But, you know, on average, they are, you know, really high quality tobaccos. So your mileage may vary.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I don't know. You've given this one such a high praise, but I've been burned before. That's all I'm going to say. I am curious, you know, so you made mention of our kind of discussion beforehand and how this is, you know, seems more readily available in bag than kind of that classic Esoterica, you know, tin.
Gold
although
tin,
you do have,
yeah.
Yeah, you do still have kind of a similar branding with kind of the pinkish text and the gold, yeah. You know, shine and all that kind of good stuff. Do you think that, you know, you mentioned beforehand just the supply chain situation that we're dealing with as a planet. Do you think that might have to do with why we're seeing this more and more frequently in a bag as opposed to a tin? Or could it be more for like just a better packaging for this particular tobacco?
That's a great question. I'm not sure about that. My guess, though, would be that it has more to do with their, you know, they've kind of studied, you know, which which of their blends do better in what sizes. And so they're probably playing to that data, I would think. You know, a lot of even retailers do that. We'll say, well, you know, if we carry both these sizes, they kind of, you know, compete with each other. So let's just carry this size kind of thing. And you'll see a lot of manufacturers do that type of thing. There's some tobaccos that are only available in a big bag, some that are only available in a small size. And I think this is probably, you know, one of those cases, but you never know. You never know.
Fair enough. All right. Well, hey, man, these are some great pipe tobaccos, and definitely, you know, if you can get your hands on them, then definitely ones to try out. But if you are trying them out and you've got a brand new pipe and you don't want to necessarily, you know, let's say that you've laid down a couple $100 on it, you don't necessarily know yet if these are the right tobaccos for it. Man, you want yourself a workhorse pipe. You want yourself a pipe that you know that you're going to get the best quality smoke out of, be able to get all of the various flavors and things that will tease the palate. Of course, I'm talking about a good quality corncob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That is exactly right, man. We are so happy every week to talk about Missouri Meerschaum, and this week we're featuring the Great Dane Spool Corncob Pipe. It's a pipe we've talked about quite a bit on the show, and just a house favorite, something that's got a unique and interesting shape, feels good in your hand, and holds a whole lot of tobacco. The Great Dane Spool Corncob Pipe from Missouri Meerschaum is a nod to old world craftsmen and the styling of Danish pipes from the 1980s. Designed to fit comfortably in the hand for both right and left-handed smokers, the trusty and familiar spool is a long-time mainstay in their line of larger filtered pipes. And so it does accommodate the 6mm filter if you're interested in that. You don't have to use it, but also has that genuine hardwood insert in the bottom of the bowl. So comes in a bent and a straight variety, just a very handsome pipe, something, you know, if you're looking at it from the side, kind of has almost a peanut look to it. It's kind of neat looking, but very comfortable in your hand. The great thing about this pipe is it's very large with a big chamber and can hold a lot of this limited edition and hard to get tobacco. So check it out. You can get it from the source at corncobpipe.com. If you go there, Missouri Meerschaum will ship it right to your front door. So go check it out.
That's right. If you do, be sure to let them know you heard about them on Country Squire Radio. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week coming in from Father Isaac. Father Isaac.
Oh, good. Father Isaac. Love that guy.
Absolutely, man. He says, hey there, guys. First of all, let me say that I am loving the Shire Select episodes. But now to my question. I've been eyeing the Nording Signature Series pipes with their natural briar finish. I've heard that the natural briar darkens in interesting ways as you smoke it. Why does this happen? And how long does it typically take? Does the same thing happen with naturally finished, say, pear, wood, clay, cob, meerschaum, etc.? Keep up the good work. And again, that is from Father Isaac.
Father Isaac Rayberg in Texas. Love that guy. Great, tender-hearted man, and man, longtime listener of the show. So Father Isaac, the reason that the Nording Signature pipes change color over time is because they're unfinished. So these are not sealed pipes. They don't even have carnauba wax on them. They're just
I'm sorry. Whoa. Carnauba what now?
Carnauba wax, you know, the similar wax that makes your car sparkle when, when you run
right,
it through the car wash, but not in exactly the same form. So they're just virgin briar. They're naked briar. And so it's briar that is readily going to absorb oils on your hands, smoke from the pipe, you know, anything else that it comes in contact with. Because of that, you know, we see other brands that have kind of pumped a lot of these out. The main one we've seen over the years has been the Savinelli unfinished pipe. These are, you know, wildly popular, and I think got many other pipe makers kind of on board with making these unfinished pipes. And so the Signature Series, what Eric has done with them is just left a lot of the shaping is the same, beautiful pieces of wood. You'll occasionally find some blemishes here and there, but they tend to be a little more inexpensive than his mainline pipes, but have the addition of not having any finishes on them. And so they do just take the oil on your hands and darken over time. You'll start to see different grain pop out in the pipe. You'll start to see, the character of, some of the blemishes and flaws come out, but in an endearing way. They're just, they're a lot of fun. And what I like about unfinished pipes like this and pipes that don't have this lacquer on them or any type of wax or anything, everything that changes color about the pipe is due to the smoker. And so in a very true sense, you've stained the pipe yourself. It's kind of neat. You know, I've even, it may sound kind of gross actually, but you know, some people I've even known have taken pipes like this and have just rubbed them on their face, in order right. to get some of the natural oil from their skin kind of onto the pipe to accelerate the aging process. So, you know, you can do all kinds of stuff with it. It's just kind of interesting. But yeah, beautiful pipes, man. Of course, everything that Nording makes is a great value. And, you know, these tend to be larger pipes. But, man, I would, you know, Father Isaac, certainly encourage you to snag one, and think you will not be disappointed.
Absolutely, man. Great question. I remember I'll never forget a buddy of mine who was kind of like a new listener to the show, picked up his first pipe, and it was one of these. And yeah. I was so jealous that his first pipe was actually a natural one, because that pipe will tell the story, like will just visually tell the story of his entire pipe journey. And I think it's such a cool one to have as kind of a first pipe, but definitely one that everyone should incorporate into their collection for sure.
And let me add this real quick, Bo. I didn't answer the second part of Father Isaac's question, but he says, does the same thing happen with natural finished pear wood, clay, cob, meerschaum, and et cetera? Now, with clay, you know, that's kind of its own thing. Clay will pick up the smudges from your hands and things of that nature, but you know, that kind of goes almost in a different category. Really, anything else though that's unfinished is going to take that on. Cobs will get kind of smudgy if they don't have that lacquer on them. What a lot of folks compare the unfinished Nording pipes, and then also you know, Savinelli's and Stanwell's that have come out, and other brands, they compare them a lot to meerschaum pipes. You know, the meerschaum pipe, it changes color over time. Mm-hmm. If you touch it, it will bring on the you know, color of your hands and all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of people do compare them to meerschaum. Meerschaum is certainly something that, you know, as you smoke it and as you handle it, it's going to change. Even if you let it sit, you know, in the sunlight or collect dust or anything like that, it will indelibly change the character of that pipe. So, yeah, anyway, great question, man.
Absolutely. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, then be sure to send it in. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Quick fire with the squire. Quick fire questions. Ow! All right, man. We are continuing on the March Madness. All right, I'm so excited for this. So, yeah, March Madness in April. So and pushing on into May. All right, so here's what we did. Okay. So we mentioned this last week. We kicked this off on episode 400, and this has just been so great. Nathan sent this in to us, and we are going to keep on tracking along with these. Now, for our patrons and Pipe Club members, the full March Madness pushing on into April, pushing on into May, is currently available to you. If you head over to the Patreon page, it is an exclusive right now available to those that are supporting the show. You can actually download these. You can fill them out your own. You can kind of figure out, you know, get your predictions on. You know, you could send it to us, but you might want to keep it close to the chest, because you never know. Maybe you might pick out every single one that is going to make it all the way to the final round. And today, we are continuing on. In fact, we are going to go into the championship round here, ladies and gentlemen, for pipe material bracket. All right. So last week, you know, we went through, you know, there were some great contenders. Contenders. You know, Olivewood fought hard, but fell. A big upset. Clay ousted Morta. Didn't see that one coming at all.
Yep.
We got metal, which was that was easy. It was up against glass, so no comment. And then we got Missouri Meerschaum just getting by the traditional meerschaum. And so, man, are you ready for this?
Yeah, man, I'm ready. Bring it on.
Okay, here we go. Briar versus clay.
Briar.
Mm.
I don't even have to. I feel like I don't even have to discuss it. I mean, I love clay pipes, but there's a reason that, you know, once briar was discovered as a pipe medium, it became the gold standard. So, briar.
I mean, this is very. You could make an argument here that this is absolutely the case, right? Like briar is the standard, but if you think about kind of the earliest pipes, they were clay pipes, or you know, in some form or fashion.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have briar without clay. That's an observation you could make. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it's kind of the old VIP, the old kind of you know, goat. and then like the new hotness coming in. And I don't know that you could really consider Breyer new hotness at this
new
stage of the game.
Breyer.
I'm just saying when Breyer ousted Clay the first time, that would be the situation. And I mean, obviously there was some stages in between, and of course there's a lot of other contenders we're about to talk about here as well. But all right, so Breyer is going to the championship. That makes sense. All right, here we go. Metal or Missouri Meerschaum? Corn or metal?
Corn beats metal 10 times out of 10.
Boom!
10 times out of 10. I mean, for the same reasons, like we're just not even going to discuss it.
That's right. That's right. All right, yes. Nature versus metallic. Meerschaum. Yeah, man. Nature versus man. The corn. And the battle of corn versus metal. Corn wins. Missouri Meerschaum. All right. Then it comes down to this. Two titans. All of these are titans. But two titans clashing together. The standard, the rock that has been the traditional pipe material. You walk into any pipe store in America and you are going to see a plethora of pipes. The vast majority. Breyer, Breyer, Breyer. You turn around. It's Breyer. You turn around. It's Breyer up on the wall. Breyer. It's $5,000. It's Breyer. You're looking at the ones in the basket. It's Breyer. Breyer all over the place. Breyer is known. A household name. But ladies and gentlemen, this is America. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. The classic. Okay? An American as apple pie. Missouri Meerschaum. Corn from the ground. Nature's
the everyman
gold.
Pipe, right? Yep.
The everyman pipe. For I would say that as you walk into every single pipe store and pipe club or whatever it may be in America, not only will you be inundated with Breyer pipes, you would be remiss. Nay, it would be a sin for a pipe shop to not carry a good amount of quality corncob Missouri Meerschaum pipes. So, as these two are going into the ring, John David, Breyer versus Missouri Meerschaum.
Breyer. I appreciate the effort you put in building it up. I felt like I was there. I mean, Don King was over in the corner, and you know, they were, you know, both the boxers were like jumping up and
ding,
down, kind of staring each other in the eyes and all this kind of, yeah. I mean, I felt like I was there, but it's Breyer.
Man, I mean, like, you, I think it's a safe bet. As soon, like, you know, to some extent it would be almost a more interesting bracket if Breyer was not a contender, but you know he was going to be. It's going. Breyer's always king. Breyer is always king when it comes
always
to
king, baby.
To pipes. So
always
it makes
king.
Sense. Well, there you go. This is, man, I am loving this.
This
is such a gift from Nathan, man. And I'm glad we got to kick it off in our 400th episode. And I'm looking forward to continuing going along on these brackets. We got so many great ones to cover as well here and coming up in the next few weeks. So again, if you are a supporter of Country Squire Radio, you'll be able to download those brackets and have some fun along with us. And yeah, ultimately John David's call is the way it's going to be. So it's all personal preference. Unless it's John David, in which case it's just whatever he says goes. All right, man. Hey, if you've got some quick fire questions, be sure to send those into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, we got some listener feedback in from Jim Nelson. What did Jim have to say? Bo, concerning the proper last meal of the day, I have to side with John David's hesitancy and recommend that we. All right, let's give a little context for this. So we did this series called Shire Select. It was a blast.
I had a lot of fun with it. It was great. Yeah. It was something I wish we could revisit, but I feel like we really can't.
No. We can't justify that for another, another 400 episodes,
right.
But it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. And the response has been huge. Especially longtime listeners in particular have really, really enjoyed it and just had fun, giving their two cents, on this, that, and otherwise. And, I feel like I need to hand this one to you, actually, John David. What did Jim Nelson say?
Bo, concerning the proper last meal of the day, I have to side with John David's hesitancy and recommend that we back away from the roasted meat flavor roasted meat in favor of a more proper hobbit meal. As the old gaffer used to tell Sam, the best way to cook meat is to stew it, preferably with turnips, greens, and other vegetables.
Potatoes.
This is precisely why Sam carried his mess kit with a pot for stewing meat all across Middle Earth, which, you know, for Sam to do that, that it has a major sign of commitment to, you know, his desire to do that. He goes on, hobbits would indeed eat slow roasted meat when necessary, but it was a lowly sort of food only for traveling. It was the goblins and not the hobbits who developed slow roasted meat to a high art. They called this dish baku. Among the most famous of the goblin cooks was Dave, who developed a recipe for slow roasting hobbits that the goblins considered some of the finest food available. Dave called this famous dish habaku. Of course, hobbits who lived outside the Shire and across the Brandywine were very difficult to catch. The Shire hobbits living a more protected life were the easiest prey, and the dish generally came to be known as Shire Baku. And so the popularity of the Habaku or Shire Bake Baku among the goblins may have had something to do with the hobbits' general disdain for slow roasted meat, although this is speculation. So right. Instead of the slow roasted meat and the remainder of the lost ones for the hobbits, I would recommend instead a hearty rabbit stew with turnips, mushrooms, and whatever else is growing in the garden. I would suggest that you pair it with Seattle Pipe Club's Potlatch, a blend that includes everything but the kitchen sink, much like a proper rabbit stew that the old gaffer would make after a day working in the garden. If you truly want to go down the road of goblin delicacies, as it were, it is said that they smoked a weed that was harsh and smelled of burned rubber. So the best tobacco pairing with slow roasted meat would probably be Cornell and Deal's The Beast. Wow. And that's from Jim Nelson, a good friend from Sioux City, South Sioux City, Nebraska. And
interesting.
I'm just glad we got a breakdown of how to cook hobbits.
Yeah. No, this is
from Dave. You know, this was that was great.
So that's fascinating. So we were saying they should make that hobbit sauce. He's saying they make that habaku sauce. So habaku sauce. Yeah, habaku sauce. Interesting. All right. I'm just interesting.
Habaku.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Habaku
sauce. I like too. He said, you know, the Shire hobbits, they're more protected. They're the easiest prey. It's almost like the veal of habaku, you know. So,
dude, have you had veal?
It's Shire Baku.
Shire Baku, yeah.
Yeah. I have had veal. It's been a long time.
Veal is gross. I'm sorry. Like, I've had it once. I was told it was the best in the city by this dude who was trying to channel the Godfather like crazy. And it was, I found it disgusting. I am not a fan of veal. It's gross.
I don't really have a strong opinion about it, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe it was because it was built up in my mind. It was the esoterica of beef. All right.
Right.
All right, man. This was fun. Always great to do a classic tobacco talk with you and, you know, get dive into the mind and palate of John David Cole. Man, we want to encourage those of y'all who want to, you can keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on the Twitters at Squire Radio. You can follow John David at John David Cole or the shop at _ Country Squire. But of course, all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. All right, brother. Well, this was a fun episode.
It was fun, man. It was good. I was really glad to dive back into some good tobacco reviews and talking about what we love best. And man, just so much beauty in this little pipe smoking world that we have. So glad to share it with you, brother.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, bud.